You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a good The Wednesday, the show, as you've come to fall in love with at this hour, 5 to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN, is in fact DCR. Today is June the 16th, 2021, as we get you started. And if I'm in a mood, guys, it's maybe because I've been cleaning up dog vomit for the last 20 minutes before the show. But, now, why does that get a fist pump from you? What kind of a savage animal are you that I tell you that I've been through the depths of what hell has to offer and that makes you happy?
Because I haven't slept. And here's another thing. Part of the reason why the Islanders lose last night is because you don't want to participate. We didn't have a viewing party. That's what happened last night.
You know, I should have had you over. You could clean up vomit and diarrhea. It's my own fault.
I told you, sleepover. I would have been right there with you.
You would have heard her hurling in the middle of the night.
No, in the middle of she woke you up and while she was puking.
No. That's not what happened. I went down to take them out before I get yelled at by my wife that they didn't properly go outside. I went downstairs to take them out and there was just vomit sitting there in her cage for me, like clumps of vomit. Yeah,
Dave, is that normal? Feel like your dogs are vomiting every other day.
Because they eat anything. They're human garbage cans, Chris.
Except they're not human.
I mean, we have a fake plant out in front of the house. You walk by it yesterday. She goes after it. And I'm like, what are you eating? She's eating a piece of fake plant. She will eat anything. Anything. Like Jeffrey Dahmer looks at her and is like, listen, miss, I don't know. I don't know what in the world you're doing. Yeah, anything. With this dog.
These dogs are out of control, man. They are running your life, Dave.
Running, add an I in there. Ruining my life right now. Yes.
Is there any end in sight? I mean, are they at least getting better?
They are getting better. Although okay. We had this moment last night. We'll get to the Nets and Kevin Durant. And I will say this. That was an all-time performance in any sport ever. That was one of the great performances. We'll get there in a second. So last night, Sherry says, we're having dinner. The dogs are calming their cages. She says, why don't we let them out? Let's let them out just to, be a part of things. I think, she says, I think they can handle it. And Ben and I look at each other like, I don't know that this is a great idea. We let them out. They're fine. They're playing. All of a sudden, he goes over on the mat in the kitchen, pees all over it. All over it. And Ben and I are like, see, Sherry, this is all on you. All on you. Urine all over the floor. That's late last night. Early this morning vomit. In between, though, guys, one of the great performances, Chris, that we have ever seen. 48 minutes. He scores 49 points. He has, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks in a game they absolutely had to win with no Kyrie and a clearly hobbled James Harden to get that performance. You can't speak highly enough about what Kevin Durant did.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Well, Dave, he answered the bell. I mean, yesterday going into that game, the entire conversation was Kevin Durant's going to have to have an all-time night in order for Brooklyn to be able to advance. No Kyrie Irving, James Harden compromised. Now, we got the news later on in the day that he was going to try to give it a go, but clearly you saw early in that game that he was not going to be himself. Like, Kevin Durant had to put a lot on him. And, Dave, I was impressed by what he did, not only on the offensive side of the court, But what he did on the defensive side of the court, I mean, he gave guys from the Bucks all kinds of trouble. I mean, Chris Middleton, Giannis, you name it. Like, when Kevin Durant was on the coverage, I mean, he gave those guys a tough time. So, I mean, I don't think we can say enough positive things about what KD did last night, but I think he showed you that he is the best player that's left in the playoff field. And he's rivaling LeBron right now for the greatest player in the world.
Dave, I'll tell you this. I mean, we talked about it yesterday when we picked the Nets to win this game. And that was what I mean, we didn't even know that Harden would try and play
this
game.
It's amazing he goes from out. He was announced out to doubtful to questionable to playing all in like a, I don't know, 15-hour span.
Well, that's performance staff telling him, no, I mean, you're not good to go. Like, there's still some steps we need to see you take before you play. This isn't a must-win game, although it felt like a must-win game. Let's, you know, give you a couple extra days and see what you feel like in game six. And I think as James Harden shows up, feels decent, like, I think I can push through this. And he's like, no, like, this is, I need to be there for my guys. And not only did he played 46 minutes.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean,
which is an indictment on Coach Budenholzer, too, though, Rico, to allow James Harden to play 46 minutes. Like, yeah, I don't understand how that's even possible.
Attack him, though. I don't understand. The defensive side of the ball, attack him. Like, I didn't get that the whole game. Like, there were some decisions that they made. Just, it drove me crazy. But here's the thing, though. I thought Kevin Durant would go, you know, 35, 40 points. Never in my wildest dreams did I think, you know, it should have been 50. He missed that free throw. I'm going to give it to him. A 50-point triple-double. First, in NBA, like, we've seen some really good performances. Like, you know, a couple of those LeBron James performances, you go back to, you know, game six against Boston. I mean, that was a huge performance by him. I mean, he had
a 50-point triple-double in game one of the NBA Finals against the Warriors, didn't he?
Yep.
That game that they lost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where J.R. Smith held the ball at the end in the side game.
Yeah. Remember that game five against the Pistons in 2007 was awesome?
Like, where he scored like the last 29 points of the game or something into overtime.
Dave, but I mean, this is, I mean, the first time we've ever seen 45-plus with 15 and 10. Like, this is the first time we've ever seen it.
I mean,
he played every single minute of the game.
When you just think about the greatest games in NBA history, I mean, Clyde had the game seven, right? Magic Johnson had that game six where he had to play center in 1980. I think it was 1980. You mentioned a couple of the LeBrons, and certainly Jordan has had some. I will stand by it. For magnitude of the game and performance during the game, I don't know that I've ever seen better. And I know people say, well, that's just because you're the prisoner of the moment. Guys, I don't think so. I don't know, Chris, that I've ever seen a better performance in a bigger game in any sport than I saw from Kevin Durant last night. He willed his team to victory. He played every single minute of the game. And there's been a lot of criticism with him. He goes and joins this super team. And I've been part of that as well. But, I mean, for his legacy last night, what a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, Dave, if the Brooklyn Nets are able to somehow finish the drill and win the chip, people will go back to this performance and KD willing his team to victory, because game five is a pivotal game. I mean, if you're the Brooklyn Nets and you lose this game, there's a chance that the series doesn't come back to Brooklyn. So, I mean, that felt like a must-win situation, like Rico alluded to a little bit earlier. And for Kevin Durant to go off the way that he did, especially in the fourth quarter, being able to close that game out, Dave, he scored 20 points on 6 of 9 shooting. It was unbelievable how efficient he was, and you saw he had that killer instinct, that closeout mentality late in that game, and the Bucks had no answers for it. Like, they had no answers for it. For the life of me, I don't understand why Coach Bud didn't decide to double-team Kevin Durant down the stretch rather than single coverage, because it was clear no matter who they put on him, nobody was going to be able to stop him from getting the shot that he wanted. That's how good KD was last night. But, I mean, the Bucks left the door open, and Kevin Durant walked right through it. And, again, Dave, I don't know how many more adjectives we can come up with to describe how epic that performance was last night from KD.
That's a forever game is what that is.
Yes.
Like, I didn't think that – I mean, win or losing that game last night, I figured he'd play good. I didn't think that was going to be something that would define his –
That was a legendary performance, Rick.
Yeah, but I didn't think it would define his legacy. I thought, I mean, if he played well and they won, it would only enhance his legacy, right? But to do what he just did, like, when you look back, like, well, he'll be a Hall of Famer. He'll be one of the greatest of all time. When you go back and look through his career, like, this will be one of the games that you'll talk about.
I think this might be the game. Don't you find it when they don't have Kyrie and Harden is, I mean, clearly compromised, and hats off to him for playing 46 minutes – and you play every minute of the game, and like you say, give him that extra free throw, give him a 50-17-10 assist triple-double, You think he's going to have a bigger game in a bigger moment than he had last night? I find that very difficult to believe.
I wouldn't put it past him at this point. No, I mean, I find it hard to believe just how good he was under the circumstances and everything else. I mean, this is as good as it gets. I mean, Dave, he scored 49 points on 23 shots.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. I didn't know that Kevin Durant had one of these games left in him on
I
the
didn't
other
think
side
so
of that Achilles injury.
Young Kevin Durant.
For him to do that, being on the other side of 30 with a career-threatening injury, to be able to bounce back the way that he did and to carry his team last night, like, that's just Dave, I don't know how to describe it other than to say this is one of those that we'll remember for a really long time. And if they finish this thing off, like I said, if they win a championship, this will be the game that everybody goes back to. This will be the thing that kind of propels them to go on a title run. Because, I mean, we talked about it coming into the playoffs. Like, if these guys stay healthy, like, there's nobody that's going to challenge them. But the adversity that the Brooklyn Nets faced was injuries. And to be able to overcome all of that, to be able to overcome some bad performances from guys like Joe Harris, to be able to go through all of that, to have the kind of first half that they did, to start off the third quarter shaky and to be down by 17 points and to claw yourself back into that game and to win it for your team, like, I just, that was...
That's an all-timer.
It's an all-time performance, Dave.
Yeah, it really is. Let's hear from the man of the day, really, Kevin Durant, on his approach in Game 5.
I didn't even think about nothing but just each possession. You know, I was just trying to win each possession, and I didn't think about how many points I had or shot attempts, like, you know, or rebounds, assists. It was more so like, just let me do what I need to do each possession. And that's the approach I always take, and I was able to rack up some points. I did play every minute, so, you know, that helped with my point total. But for the most part, I just try to stay engaged on the defensive side of the ball all game.
Forget the 48 minutes. Well, no, but forget the 48 minutes. Yeah, that helps with your point total. I mean, shooting 70% from the field also helps with your point total.
Hello. Hello.
I can't come up with the adjectives to describe how great he was, like you said, Chris, last night.
No, he was awesome, Dave. He really was. And, I mean, listen, I will also contend that as great, as epic as a performance that KD had, the meltdown that the Bucks had was just as spectacular. Like, I don't understand what they were doing last night in terms of some of the shot selection that we saw in the second half. You know, again, the defensive coverage schemes, not being able to throw two guys at Kevin Durant and forcing somebody else to beat you down the stretch. Like, some of the decisions that Coach Bud made no sense. Giannis Antetokounmpo, when you got James Harden on you, rather than attack him, you choose to settle for a fadeaway jumper on the baseline. That makes no sense to me. So, I mean, we've got to praise Kevin Durant. We got to give him his flowers because of what he did last night, a historic performance. But, I mean, that only happens because the Milwaukee Bucks had an all-time choke job as well. Like, there's no way around it. And, guys, I got to tell you, I actually want to blame Charles Barkley today. Because at halftime, Charles Barkley said the Milwaukee Bucks were going to win the championship, and we know how Charles Barkley guarantees typically work out. I mean, it just felt like that was one of those games that the Bucks had every opportunity to take control of, and they didn't do it. And because they didn't do it, it gave Kevin Durant the opportunity to do what he did last night.
Even late, though, I mean, Giannis had that play under the bucket. I mean, Middleton makes a pretty good pass.
It's a great pass. Great pocket pass.
I mean,
pass.
He, if he actually catches that, he probably ties the game up at 109. I mean, that three that Durant hit with 50 seconds left on that broken play.
That was a broke it back. One. Broke How about it back. That? Harden, you take the ball for 22 seconds. Get rid of it like it's a grenade at the end, and then KD, do what you can do. Go ahead.
That's what happens when, I mean, KD had 20 points in that fourth quarter, and as awesome as he was, and Dave, Chris, you guys are right, like, there's not enough adjectives to describe how great he was. Like, if Jeff Green doesn't do what he did,
he was great,
especially early in that game. KD and Jeff Green scored the first 23 points for the Nets.
Rick, nobody else scored a bucket for the Nets until the 9-minute mark in the second quarter. In the second quarter, which is why it still doesn't make any sense to me why Coach Bud didn't force somebody else to beat them. It still doesn't make any sense.
If I would have told you, Rick, that Joe Harris went 2-for-11 with 5 points and 1-of-7 from three-point range in 37 minutes, what odds, what percentage do you think the Nets would have had to win this game?
I think it would have been a small percentage.
Right.
I mean, we knew going in, like, there was a couple guys that would need to step up. Like, if Durant, you know, did what we expected him to do, obviously not this. Like, this is just, I mean, this is historic what he did. But, like, I mean, Joe Harris had to be better. Like, Jeff Green, I mean, it was going to be a lot for him, but he had to be better than he was in Game 4. And he was I mean, he's
phenomenal.
He was the MVP. Like, yeah. Durant, you expect that from. I mean, what Jeff Green? Yeah, scoring the 27 off the bench, most in net history. I mean, Blake Griffin was good. I mean, he chipped in 17 points. Landry Shamet, we talked about yesterday, he had a couple, you know, a couple big buckets. But I mean, dude, this game was all about Kevin Durant. Every single minute of the game to do what he did. And I mean, this was the way that James Harden looked. I know he played 46 minutes. That's not the same James Harden.
Oh no,
it's not. And I don't know how that gets the thing for them trying to, you know, make their way through this series and then, you know, through another series and then the NBA Finals. Like, hamstrings, if it's, I mean, if it's, I don't know how it gets better. It feels like that's only going to get worse as we go further along in this postseason.
It might.
Like, I don't know how he gets back to James Harden is what I'm saying. Like,
I wonder if
you
even play him in game six. Or you just say, you know, you take off game six and get as healthy as you possibly can for game seven at home.
I think it all depends on how he reacts to it, right? What happens after, you know, how he wakes up and feels today, what happens moving forward, what their treatment plan is. I mean, listen, guy played 46 minutes. So, I mean, clearly Steve Nash had the confidence in the player to make sure that he protects himself out there on the court. But to you guys' point, I don't know that we'll see the same version of James Harden the rest of the way, the guy that we saw in the regular season. But you might not have to. You might not have to because he's out on the court. It creates room for Kevin Durant. And I think that's the biggest thing. That's why he decided that he was going to thug it out yesterday, because he recognizes the difference between him being on the court versus having Mike James out there on the court. And for as great as Mike James has been in spots, I mean, James Harden is going to command more attention from the defense, and you saw that last night.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to respect him. I mean, Jrue Holiday was still in his pocket. You know what I mean? And this was a James Harden that clearly, I mean, was not going to – I mean, he wasn't going to go, you know, up at the three-point line, rocking the baby through his legs and then try to beat you to the buck. You know what I mean? Like, this was – 8 of his 10 shots were from three. Like, that's – he was not – like, that. He did not trust that hamstring yet. But still, just having him out there, he still had the 8 assists.
Yeah, there were still, like, 3 or 4 possessions that you point to and you say, damn, that was a damn good pass by James Harden.
You saw moments of, oh, there's James Harden, and then a lot of moments of, oh, and it was difficult to watch for moments. Like, when he was like 40 feet away from the basket, and he just went up and down.
He was trying to draw the foul, and then he didn't. And
called timeout.
You notice he had different sneakers on, too, last night? I noticed that.
That what? Good.
He didn't have his signature shoes on last night. I don't know if that was because of the hamstring or not.
I don't know.
But he has a James Harden signature sneaker that he wears, and he wasn't wearing it last night. He was wearing a different one.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about all-time performances in any sport in this level of moment, Rick, it's right up there. I mean, that is what he did is right up there. In New York lore, it reminds me of like Messier game 6 against the Devils, scoring the hat trick in the third period. That was, I mean, Phil Simms in the Super Bowl 22-25, Eli Manning on the final drives of the Super Bowls. That was right there. That was an epic performance last night from KD.
Yeah, it was epic. I told you. I mean, that's the first time it's happened in NBA postseason history, those numbers. Right? I mean, so it's, yeah, we've seen great performances. LeBron's had some. Recently, Luka Doncic had a great performance in the postseason. But I mean, some of the things Messier with the guarantee. I mean, that plays into it. I mean, Joe Namath guaranteeing that they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's a big moment. But I mean, you brought up the Clyde game. I mean, that's, I don't want to say, you know, that they're, you know, exactly the same thing, but that's kind of similar, right? Is, you know, emotionally, you got James Harden coming back from an injury, and then it's, you know, he plays, isn't great, and then it's, but it's, you know, Kevin Durant, because Walt hadn't. I mean, that story was about, you know, him coming back with the injury, but that was Walt's game. I mean, Walt took over that game.
What did he go for, 36-19, I think, in that game?
He was awesome. And just like Kevin Durant last night was awesome.
But the thing with Durant is,
awesome's not even enough.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
The thing that's so impressive about it is, this was not, you're up 3-1 and you have that. This was, if they lose that game last night, at least for me, it's very difficult to find Brooklyn forcing a game 7 coming back. Seeing that Harden is nowhere near healthy, thinking Durant is going to play like that on the road, you're not going to get that from Jeff Green on the road. You don't win that game last night, and I think it's fair to say that series is over. And he did everything in his power to get that done.
Yeah, that was the turning point in the series, Dave. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. And for Kevin Durant to come up big in that spot, I mean, that just speaks to his greatness. I know a lot of people question, you know, whether or not he made the right decision to leave Golden State to put himself in this position. But, I mean, listen, the only way that Kevin Durant becomes validated in making that decision is if he can get this team to the NBA Finals and compete for a championship. And last night went a long ways to being able to do that, because you got to think that they're going to close out the Bucks now, right? I mean, even if the Bucks win Game 6, I just don't see how the Bucks win two in a row in this series, seeing as how things have gone, especially if they got to win a Game 7 in Brooklyn. I don't see that happening. So, I mean, the fact is that Kevin Durant is going to have an opportunity, based on the way that he played last night, to put his team in position to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the more time that he can buy the Nets so they can try to get James Harden and Kyrie Irving healthier, I think the better off they're going to be. It just feels like last night went a long ways to being able to give them that runway that they need to try to see if they can get those guys back healthy and go on a run here.
You know what amazes me, though, too, Dave, and you mentioned it, as far as the role players, what a difference playing at home makes for those guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's night and day. It really is. I mean, except for Joe Harris, who...
Joe Harris is awful.
Brutal again. Let's hear some more from KD. How do you feel after 48 minutes and 49 points?
I mean, we got another game. We got to travel tomorrow. We got a game 6. I mean, I can't celebrate because we won the game. We got another game to try to finish it out.
So he couldn't answer that question at all, huh? How do you feel?
He putted on that one, Dave. But you know what? One of the things that I thought played in the Nets' favor was that they were able to get P.J. Tucker, Giannis, and Drew Holiday in foul trouble early.
Yep.
All of them had two personal fouls going into the second quarter, and that changed a little bit how the Bucks defended as we got down the stretch in that game. You know what I mean? They couldn't be as aggressive. They couldn't be as physical. And I think that's when we saw KD kind of take control of things, and that just started this avalanche for the Brooklyn Nets. And there was nobody from the Bucks, not Giannis, not Chris Middleton, not Drew Holiday. I mean, nobody that could make the plays to be able to swing momentum back in their favor. I mean, and in that moment, you're looking for your stars to be able to make plays to get the game back in your favor, to be able to get some confidence for the rest of your team. And those guys couldn't come up with those plays. Kevin Durant could, and that's the difference in the game.
All night long. Rick, can I be honest with you? Like just sheer honesty?
Always. Always.
I'm a little disappointed. Actually, a lot disappointed. So I've given the phone number a few times, and people have called. We got someone's on the line that wants to give me advice with the dogs. We have callers that are on the line that want to talk about the Mets. We have callers on the line that want to talk about the Yankees. Callers are lined up. Not one person is on hold to discuss the Nets and Kevin Durant and that performance from last night.
Yeah, so
you hear Durant. You hear all season long from this Nets fan base. All season long. You never talk about us. These, you know, we're not a second-class citizen. We're as important as anybody. Well, we start the show. We spend the first at least half hour. We're going to get back to it later. And you don't want to talk about that performance last night from Kevin Durant, which is an all-timer. I'm at a minimum disappointed, at a maximum disgusted right now in the Nets fan. And that's my honesty.
Well, I got to imagine, though, I mean, if you're at that game, if you're a Nets fan, I mean, forget if you're at the game. If you're watching that game, I mean, you probably didn't go right to sleep because you're all jacked up.
Fair point.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably still sleeping.
You don't think there's anybody that's out there? Anybody that's a Nets fan that's out there listening?
Here's how I'll put this. If I'm a diehard Nets fan and that game happened last night and I watched the entire game, there's no way I'm going to sleep. I'm probably calling in sick to work. I'm not going to make it in.
I will say this, though, Dave. I think for as great as Kevin Durant's performance is, I mean, this Brooklyn Nets team, in a lot of ways, is a really unlikable team.
I agree.
They're a really unlikable team. So, I mean, you know, I know there are a ton of Nets fans that are ecstatic about the performance, but I'm sure you have more New York basketball fans that hate the fact that the Brooklyn Nets took control of this series as opposed to celebrating the night that Kevin Durant had.
You dig?
Yeah. That's, I'm pretty sure that Knicks fans don't like what they saw last night.
Victor heard my call, my I don't know, plea, but he's responding. Victor, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Actually, never up this early. I'm driving to pick up some papers for my pool. But I'm a huge fan of your show, a huge Nets fan, but it seems to take a hold of it for 8 years. And I was there last night. It was epic. New York is in foreclosure. We take it over.
Victor, settle down.
Victor, let me ask you a question. Going into halftime, in your mind, what did you think the chances were that Brooklyn was going to come back in that game?
I thought it was small. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit there and lie. You know, I thought it was small. We're down 16. But I just knew that if we can hang around single digits, 9-8 points going into the fourth quarter, I just knew KD was going to do it. I knew it. I told my buddy, I said, he's going to get 50 tonight. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. You know? And he did.
What a difference it makes, too, when your best player can actually shoot.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it makes huge difference, both from the field and from the free throw line.
It almost like, you know, I mean, Chris, you mentioned that one play, and it was, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned it because I have it in my notes, where, you know, Giannis has Harden posted up, and rather than, I mean, he's a smaller guy, bully him to the bucket, he decides he's going to settle for a fadeaway jumper.
I don't think
you're talking about 6'11 against 6'4 and on a bad wheel.
That's what I'm saying, Dave. I think that's part of it. I think the psychology of him being...
I don't think he wants to go to the free throw line. I think he's terrified of it. Same with Ben Simmons. I think these guys want to avoid the free throw line at all costs. Let's go to Dean in Queens. Good morning, Dean. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing, guys?
What's going on, bud?
Well, as the owner of an English bulldog, I want to talk to Dave about his dog issues.
Yeah.
If you go to a pet store, you know, Petco or something, you can get this spray. It's called Sour Apple Spray.
Yeah, we have a case of it. You spray it on stuff.
Oh, you do?
And then do you want me to spray the entire world? That's what I'd have to do. I would have to spray every single thing in my home and outside my home.
Well, let me tell you something. I had to do that still in my apartment. I don't have a home. I have an apartment.
But I can't spray the world, Dean. You take them outside and they start eating anything. Tree bark, leaves, fake leaves, you name it, they eat it. Yeah, it's funny.
You need a dog whisperer, Dave.
Goodbye, Dean. I need help.
Yeah, but not only, here's the thing, though. I don't feel bad for you, because not only did you buy two dogs, you bought, I mean, two white labs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, those are crazy dogs. Like, I figured you'd get, if you're going to get a dog, like, get something that's more...
stationary?
Yeah, chilled out. But like an English bulldog would have been great for you, or a French bulldog would have been great for you. Like, something that just wants to hang out a little bit.
Listen, I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm only telling you what's happening.
Well, listen, here's what you got to do.
Should I not tell you? Do you not want to know what's happening in my life?
No, it makes me feel better about my situation. Like, I'm cleaning up, you know, I'm wiping butts and cleaning up poop and everything else, but at least it's not.
Oh, please, I would welcome what you're doing.
All over the rug.
So, Rick, this serves as a deterrent for you not to get dogs? Especially not to melt to the pressure?
No, there's no chance, because then, I mean, I had my beautiful Roxy. And unfortunately, she passed away way too early. And it's devastating, man. Like, my mother just lost her dog, like, 2 days ago. And she called me. I mean, it out of nowhere, dog just, you know, everything just goes wrong with it. That the dog, you know, passed away. She's ruined. No, I don't. I can't. You know me emotionally. I can't handle that. I don't need to. I already got three kids. I'm going to add that to my life.
So you're not going to get a dog solely because at some point they will pass and you can't handle it.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously going
to
happen.
If you tell me that you don't want to clean up vomit 24/7 and
all of it,
and that I can understand.
But no, but it's all of it.
The fact that you don't want to take the risk and fall in love because at some point it's going to end, that's a terrible reason.
No, I'm saying that's not the only reason. I already went through that, and I saw how it affected me and it affected my wife. Like, it was.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Like,
yeah.
She loved that dog. Like, I mean, we loved that dog like it was our kid. So now, if you're talking about, okay, now I got the dog, which at some point is going to break my heart. Plus, now I gotta, you know, potty train it, and I gotta clean up, you know, projectile diarrhea all over the wall at some point, and vomit. Like, that's, I'm good. Like, I'm already doing that with the kids. Like, I don't need to add, you know, another. If I wanted to do that, I'd have another kid.
Yeah, well, I think maybe you should. I think you should go ahead and have number
no
four.
No chance.
I think it's
She'll
a great
kick me
idea.
Out of the house.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
The Milwaukee Bucks, who had a commanding lead, and you thought they were going to win that game, it fell apart for them in the fourth quarter. Here's their head coach, Mike Budenholzer, on KD and his performance.
Special performance by him. Credit to him. You know, some tough shots. So, you know, we got to look at it, figure out, you know, getting better. Special by him. And then, you know, Green at the three-point line, 7-for-8. Griffin hitting a few. So, you know, we got to figure out. We just got to go home and win at home like they did it in game 5.
See that? I mean, Chris, you brought this up too. I mean, it's watching that game, right? And I couldn't tell what I wanted. I mean, from the second the show ended and we made our predictions, it was like I spent the entire day hoping that the Nets would win, and then the game's going on. I'm like, oh, Damn, what a brutal pick that was.
The Nets winning by six, by the way. That was me?
I don't know. I had the most points. Yeah, I had the most points scored.
Winning was it 97-91?
Mm. Yeah, but that's not even. Point. I mean, that's not even close, really. Come on.
What do you mean? Score wise, 101-98.
Yeah,
score wise,
I'm closer. Yeah, but score wise, I'm closer.
Yeah, but margin wise, I hit the nail.
I mean, there were more points scored than we thought were going to be scored.
Oh, good for you.
So I actually find myself rooting for the Nets. It's not rooting, but I'm like, I want to be right, so I wanted the Nets to win. But it's like, I mean, it was like KD. I mean, and no one could cover KD. I mean, it's impossible with how big he is. But it's like, okay, let's search out whoever, you know, where Pat Connaughton is, and then we're going to run a high screen, and then poor Pat Connaughton we're going to expose. And I mean, that was the one play they kept going to. And the other one was like, we're just going to have Brook Lopez deep in the paint and then dare KD to make mid-range jumpers. It's like, at some point, can we adapt? Like, can we pull him out a little bit?
Is there a better mid-range shooter in the world than Kevin?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, no. No. I didn't understand a lot of the coaching decisions that Bud made last night. I mean, the fact that you let Steve Nash get away with having Joe Harris or Bruce Brown on Brook Lopez and just having Brook camped out at the three-point line is beyond me. It makes no sense. I mean, and they were talking about it on the TNT show with those guys and just how, you know, in terms of the matchups, the Bucks didn't do a good enough a job on the offensive end attacking some of the mismatches that they had against the Brooklyn Nets. Like, they should have been a lot more aggressive and a lot more selective with what they were trying to do on the offensive end, especially in the second half, man. I put a lot of that blame on Giannis, a lot of blame on Chris Middleton, too. Those are your two all-stars. Those guys have got to step up and be a lot better in those situations about making sure they get good shots on the offensive end. Because for a long time, the Brooklyn Nets were struggling with their offense, especially in the half-court sets. And that created opportunities for the Bucks, but I mean, they were just trading misses from the perimeter rather than being aggressive and trying to get better shots. I didn't understand that. And as a result, as that game went on, it started to turn because Kevin Durant took control. And there was nothing that they could do in the second half. The Bucks got outscored 71-49. I mean, that's in part because of Kevin Durant's greatness, but that's also because of the ineptitude of Coach Budenholzer and the Bucks.
Here is Giannis saying KD is playing like the best player in the entire world right now.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like, he's the best player in the world right now, and we gotta beat him as a team. We gotta guard him as a team. We gotta make him make tough shots like tonight. We just gotta keep doing our job, and hopefully he's gonna miss.
What are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, you're a 2-time MVP. You're gonna sit here and tell me that Kevin Durant is the best player in the world? Aren't you supposed to be the best player in the world?
We got
to
beat him as a team.
Like, I want my teammates to hear me say that Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. Come on, man.
And how about put Giannis on KD down the stretch? How about let's try that? Not saying that would have been the answer, but at least try. I mean, Giannis is a first team All NBA defender. Like, that's supposed to be one of your best guys in terms of the options that you have to be able to try to slow KD down, and you didn't do that either. I just don't understand why the Bucks didn't try to make it tougher on Kevin Durant. If I was Coach Bud, I would say somebody else other than Kevin Durant is going to beat me down the stretch tonight.
That's
I don't know who that is, whether it's James Harden or Jeff Green. If they end up beating me, God bless them. But I'm not going to let Kevin Durant do it because I know he's more than capable.
You know, the other thing I don't really understand, and this is, I think, one of the things that, you know, Coach Bud gets criticized for is that it's almost like he's, well, not almost, it just seems like he's hesitant to make changes or adapt what they're trying to do, especially with Giannis. I would imagine going into the series, if I'm the coach of Milwaukee, one of the things that we could exploit in this series is our size. Like, we should destroy Brooklyn on the boards. Destroy them. Brook Lopez had one offensive rebound. Like, what, I mean, what good is he if he's camped out at the three-point line? Because I got to clear up the lane for Giannis to go screaming down the lane, out of control.
Over and over and over. That's some way to set up.
Well, no, the best is when it's like he doesn't really, I mean, his handle isn't great. So it's like he tries and he's like, nah, this isn't going to work. Let me dribble all the way back to the three-point line so I get some real speed.
And build up ahead of steam.
Yeah, we've been watching this for years in the postseason. I mean, ultimately, it does not work. So,
But why not play him at the five then? That's what he is. Like, play him at the five.
And post him up down low?
Yeah, take advantage.
I don't have the answer for you. It's confounding, to be honest with you. Let's go to some of these Nets fans. Now they're all here for us. Jay in Brooklyn. Jay, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
morning, fellas. I enjoy your show. I listen every day on my way going to work. I just wanted to say, Brooklyn is the best team rocking in New York. I know you guys always.
I mean, why? What? No, Jay. Goodbye. I'm done with this. Why do we have to do this? The stage is yours. You're playing relevant basketball. You had a guy that scored, you know, one of the great games in the history of the NBA. Why do the Knicks even have to be a conversation? We're the best team in New York.
I think he meant team, period. I don't even think he just meant the Knicks. I think he meant just team in New York.
Or whatever, but why? Why do we have to compare the Nets to any other team? Why can't we just enjoy the fact that they gave you such a performance last night?
I would argue that the Islanders right now are the best team in New York.
But that's not my point is, why do we have to always compare? Why can't we just live in the moment of what it was and what it means for the Nets and focus on the Nets?
Well, Dave, you know why that is, though. It's because Kevin Durant said the Knicks aren't the cool thing to do when he came over here in free agency a couple of years ago. Like, one of the conversations that summer was, okay, maybe the Knicks have the opportunity to get KD because they've got two max slots. And then when KD and Kyrie go to Brooklyn and they come out in that presser and they say, yeah, the Knicks aren't the cool thing to do, Knicks fans are going to take offense to that. And every time Kevin Durant or Kyrie or the Nets do anything good, Knicks fans are always going to come back with, well, this is our town. That's what it is.
And it is. Ultimately, it is. I mean, the Knicks are way bigger than the Nets, but that's not the point today. That's not the discussion today. Save that for you know, a later date. Save that for over the summer, not for now. You know, enjoy the win. Discuss the win. Sal in Queens, you're on 98.7, Sal.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Big fan of the show. I think I'm a Knicks fan, but as a basketball fan watching that game yesterday, you can't just, you watch an epic performance, but you see Jeff Green and Kevin Durant together. I mean, maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but they could be the last active players of the previous Seattle Supersonics. And kind of just seeing what Jeff Green went through and then both being drafted together and then, again, coming full circle yesterday, I think it's pretty cool to see that takes place. And, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I'm sure Seattle fans are loving watching that.
It was great to see Jeff Green come out there and play the way that he did. Because, I mean, we've seen it all season long from Jeff Green, and I know he was hobbled with injuries late coming into the postseason. But to see him be able to have that type of performance, I mean, Dave, he didn't miss a three-pointer until the fourth quarter.
He was awesome.
No, he hit his first seven.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Jeff Green was unbelievable last night. But you just needed somebody to come to the party, right? You just needed one other person other than Kevin Durant. And we didn't know who that was going to be going into last night. We didn't know whether it was going to be Blake Griffin. We were talking about Joe Harris. We needed one of the others to step up. And Jeff Green was that dude last night. Phenomenal performance.
He was awesome last night. Derek in Brooklyn. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, man. And, yo, Dave, we didn't mean to disappoint you. That's not we didn't want to call, but we wanted to make sure we left the line open, you know, for all the haters. Everybody who was saying KD's not a superstar. I mean, like, that statement in itself was ridiculous, but everybody was calling the radio yesterday to say it. Well, how about that, people? How about this? And Omar hasn't called yet. I can't even understand Omar all the time when he calls, but he was talking to us smack yesterday. So if I could quote Mr. Guaranteed Contract in the NFL, I would say, you like that? Do you like that? Come on, man. Brooklyn got this, guys. Brooklyn got this. Shout out to Kevin Durant. Best player in the world, man.
That's a good call. He's excited.
It's a great call.
I mean, you could, like, he is pumped up for what this team is doing now. Good for him. He should be. If you're a legitimate Nets fan, it doesn't get much better than you got last night. That's a phenomenal performance.
I think after last night's game, it makes it hard to doubt the greatness of Kevin Durant.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people wondering, like, does he really belong in the territory that a lot of analysts put him in the conversation for the best player alive right now? Last night's performance shows you, like, in a spot where they needed him to come through, the guy drops a 50-point triple-double, does something that we haven't seen in NBA postseason history. Like, that's what you're expecting from an all-time performer. I mean, Stephen A. says, arguably, top three scorer all-time. Kevin Durant looked it last night.
Yeah, I don't know who these people are. I mean, maybe just, you know, prisoners of the moment and, you know, talking about how this would define his legacy and everything else. I mean, this is, like, Kevin Durant, in my opinion, has already established himself as one of the best we've seen.
You're right. But you know that there are people, and I'm not saying that this is right. There are people that say He joined a super team. He was great on that team, but you know what? It's easier to do it when you're with other superstars. Now he comes here. He's with Kyrie. He's with Harden. It's this built-in. Yeah, he's great, but he's great with other great players. Last night, he was as good as it gets, and for the most part, as far as superstar is concerned, Rick, he was on an island. I think that's a huge night for him last night.
How many, Dave, how many super teams, like how many teams that aren't super teams win NBA championships?
Not a lot.
Yeah, very few.
Not a
very
lot.
Few.
Very
I mean,
few.
People just didn't like the fact that that was a team that he, you know, he had lost to, and you know, coming off a 73-win season.
Games.
No, I know, but it's not like he joined the team and he was just one of the guys along for the ride. He was their best player.
He was the Finals MVP
twice. You're talking about, I mean, on a team where you have maybe the greatest shooter in the history of the sport.
Listen,
the guy who was a unanimous MVP.
I think what he did last night enhances the greatness and impresses everybody. It impresses me more. Like,
I don't disagree
that,
with you.
It impresses me.
I don't disagree with you. I think what that caller was alluding to was the fact that we had people calling in yesterday, you know, saying, though, if Kevin Durant doesn't step up in this moment, you know, he's not as good as we thought he was.
Yeah, those trolls got to go away.
Yeah, like, I don't, that whole thing, like, even the backlash with him going to Golden State never made sense to me. Who wouldn't want to go play for Golden State? He didn't force a trade. He was a free agent. Nah, you know what? I want to make it as hard as possible. Golden State wants me. Nah, I'm good.
I guess people were looking at it like Golden State was already an all-time great team, and it's like you're a guy that's won an MVP. Why do you have to leave when you're on the same team as Russell Westbrook, a walking triple-double, in order to compete for a championship? I think that's why people didn't
exactly
like
right.
People didn't like the move. Well, but Kevin Durant was justified by being able to win the chips, though. I mean, listen, there is a learning curve that comes along with winning championships, and when you're with an organization that can't figure out how to do it, I mean, I can understand why Kevin Durant made that choice, but I think one of the things that people can't figure out is why he would then leave that situation and come to Brooklyn.
But
I think he left so he could have this stage and have this opportunity, which you saw from him last night.
Yeah, but he left one super team to form his own super team. It was still going to be a super team.
But it wasn't a super team before he got there.
Well, I guess but it wasn't. But he wasn't the face of it. That was the thing. Like, as good as he was the best player on the team. Golden State would always be.
It's already Steph's team.
It's always going to be
Steph's team, and they were a 70-win team before he went there.
Yeah.
So, again, I think last night is sad is the right word. Maybe it's not appropriate, but I think last night did a lot for him.
No, but I mean, let's be honest. LeBron James is the best team in the Miami Heat. Whose team is the Miami Heat?
Dwayne Wade.
It's always going to, I mean, that's, you know what I mean, that's Wade County. That's always going to be D. Wade's team. Like, he wanted to go to a place where, I mean, he would be the face. The Brooklyn Nets are Kevin Durant's team. You know what I mean?
Of course. Absolutely. And that's
But I can't, like,
evidence.
How many, like, here's the thing with me, though. Like, how many years are you going to waste? You know what I mean? Like I can't waste years of my career, like, trying to make it more difficult on myself. If I have an opportunity, especially with how good LeBron James is, like, it's going to take this many guys to beat LeBron James. Like, I'm just going to start wasting years because, you know, I'm afraid people are going to think that I'm taking the easy way out. No, give me the championships.
Well, he got the championship, but he also got a lot of people that think that's what he did.
Do you think less of Tom Brady's 7th Super Bowl?
No.
That he went to a fully loaded team?
No.
No.
Come on, man. I mean, it's hard. I don't care how good your team is. It's hard to win championships.
But Tom Brady didn't join a team that was...
Yeah, they were 7-9 before he got
there. 14-2.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying, but that was a loaded team. Like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a loaded team.
Yeah, but they weren't loaded until he got there, and then they added some of the pieces that they added.
What pieces are you speaking of? It was him instead of Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions.
Antonio Brown they added.
Oh, come on, that was Antonio. They added him late in the season.
Gronk.
I mean, that team was built.
They added
a couple pieces, but Tom Brady was the piece that they came in.
15-1, and they brought in Tom Brady. That's a terrible comparison. You say that to me all the time. It's a horrendous comparison by you. You're better than that.
Jameis Winston was the reason why that team was terrible. It's not like he went to a team that was rebuilding. I mean, he went to a team that was on the, like,
but
if they had a legitimate quarterback.
Record-wise, they were awful. They were a bad football team the year before, and you could blame it whoever you want. The Warriors
were the best football team. They had the best record
in the history of the league.
What were they, 7-9 the year before that?
Yeah.
You act like they weren't a 4-win team.
The Warriors were 73-9.
It wasn't my best comparison.
Yeah.
But you know, you knew what I was doing.
There you go, Rico.
And Chris's face was. I could see Chris's face was he was on the verge of jumping on my side there. He was
I was with you, Dave, but I enjoy watching you two go back and forward. I was telling the guys behind the glass that, man, I just got my popcorn watching these two go at it. It's awesome. It is awesome. Wasn't your best comparison, Rico, but you came back off that ledge.
Well, what I meant was he left a bad situation. Like, New England wasn't a good team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was booing a bad team that didn't have a ton of talent. And he went to a team that had tons of talent on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up being the missing piece. Like, I don't think, like, if Kevin Durant doesn't join Golden State, do you think they win more championships?
I think they could have.
Yeah, I think
they could have, but yeah. I don't. I mean, when you saw how good Kevin Durant was in the final, I don't. Well, I mean, that's,
yes, of course. Him going there meant that no one else had a chance. Yes.
There was a reason there's a reason why Draymond Green's in the parking lot crying, "Can you please join our team?" Because we don't think we're going to be able to beat LeBron James moving forward.
Pablo in Beachwood. Good morning, Pablo.
Good morning, fellas. Oh, man. Listen, I'm still giddy about the win. I'm so giddy about the win, but shout out to Uncle Jeff Green shooting lights out. Shout out to freaking James Harden, you know, giving whatever he had in the tank. But Kevin Durant, that man, that was a demonic performance, bro. Like, that was insane what he did. And I just want to say real quick, I have a lot of friends who are hating on the Nets. They could be Knicks fans, they could be Hawks fans, they could be whatever they want. They're hating on the Nets. I just got to say this. Today, please, people, all those people that called up, all those people talk about, I want to see if he could play in New York. I see if he could be in the biggest moment. Please, either take a seat or call up this show, talk to y'all boys on this show, 98.7 FM, and just say y'all was wrong. Just say y'all was wrong. Enjoy your town, fellas. It's a Knicks town. It's a Nets world, baby. I'll see y'all later.
All right, thank you. I do not understand why every Nets fan has to be so excited and then take shots at the Knicks. This has nothing to do with the Knicks. Nothing. The Knicks are irrelevant at the moment when it comes to what the Nets are doing.
It's resentment, Dave. They hate the fact that there's nothing that can happen that would change the town and make it a Brooklyn Nets town. There's nothing that can happen. I mean, the Nets with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, they could win two or three championships. It's not going to change the fact that this is going to be a Knicks town when it comes to basketball. But that doesn't stop Nets fans from being able to enjoy greatness.
No.
And I think that's the thing that they should be focused on right now, but I guess they can't help because they have that little brother syndrome that they want to rub it in the Knicks fans' noses.
You dig?
That has to be what it is.
I guess so, but I don't know. I would just say enjoy your
moment.
What
do you mean it, you guess so?
I don't understand.
That's how we feel about the Yankees as Mets fans.
Yeah, but if the Mets won the World Series, I wouldn't be like, ah, Yankees, take that. I'd just be thrilled. If the Islanders,
well, you
win
wouldn't,
the cup,
you wouldn't. No, time out.
You got it.
You're such a fraud. So there's no way that we show up the day after the Mets win the World Series and you're not jabbing Chris a little bit. The Yankees fan.
I think I might jab Chris a little bit, but I don't think it would be my initial reaction.
It wouldn't be the end of every single sentence when you're talking about
I wouldn't walk into the studio and be like, we won, Chris. Guess who won, Chris? Yankees didn't win. No.
You walked up to Andrew Gunling in the newsroom, and you laughed in his face that Carson Wentz blew out his ACL.
That's different, though. I thought.
What do you mean it's different?
That's totally different.
You were basking in an injury.
Oh,
worse.
Look at what has happened. Yeah, which was not my finest moment. But I can't compare that. The Eagles were projected to win the Super Bowl. I thought that eliminated their chances. So because of that,
how wrong were you?
I laughed in his face.
Yeah, but even when you set things up while you're driving the show, well, beautifully, by the way, okay. like you always put a little bit extra when you're talking about the Yankees. Like, it's always worse. Like, could you imagine if this Yankees team didn't make the postseason with how they were favored with Pecota and everything? This would be the biggest disappointment I've ever seen in my life.
And it's so much glee in his voice.
Oh,
when he's
and he's
saying
happy
it,
about
Rico.
It.
He loves it. He revels in it.
You know, this is something that Chris should be bringing up, not you.
I listen. I know
you're supposed to be the Mets fan who doesn't care.
Appreciate Rico just bringing it to the forefront because certainly I feel a way about it when you're doing it, but I just don't want to be that guy. I don't want to feel like the Knicks fans feel when Nets fans are trying to rub their noses in it. I don't want to do that on our show, so I appreciate Rico as a good teammate having my back for saying it.
Always a little extra on it, David. Yeah, I know you, that's
bit.
Fine.
You're some friend.
That's what younger brothers do, man.
You are some friend.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.